So Christmas is coming up.
So exciting.
You love Christmas.
I do love it.
You really do. And I'm not even going to get into why, but do you remember our first Christmas in California?
Yes.
What do you remember?
That we were all by ourselves.
Yeah, we were in seminary. Awful. We moved to California from, you know, grew up in Ohio, and we literally were on staff with Athletes in Action in Nebraska, decided that God had called us long-term to ministry, so we should go get trained. So we ended up in seminary in California. So we had two friends, Bob and Judy. Remember?
Yes.
And they invited us to their house. We had nobody. We had nowhere to go for Christmas. It was like so lonely.
They said, you guys, we feel so bad you're going to be alone. Come with us to our family's Christmas. We cook. It's amazing. You're going to love this. So, and so we get our bags packed.
Yeah, we're all excited. Sitting by the front door at 8 a.m. They said they'd be there like 9 a.m. They never showed. We sat there all day. And that night, we get a call like 7, 8 o'clock. They're like, we are so sorry. We forgot.
It was awful. It was the worst Christmas
they
ever.
They forgot us.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com or on our Family Life app.
This is Family Life Today.
Christmas is coming up, and it can be a high or it could be a low like that,
and
you know.
This can be, and statistically speaking, one of the hardest seasons because of depression, expectations that aren't met. It can be really hard because you're assuming everyone is having this wonderful Christmas and you're alone. And the truth is, this is one of the things I love about Family Life Today, is we are here for you and you're not alone.
Yes, a beautiful thing is we get to meet you right where you are, which is really Jesus meeting you right where you are. And, you know, I hope as you come to the year end and think about your life and the future, I hope you feel like I need Family Life. You know, God meets me through this broadcast. And what you need to know is we need you as well. And we're inviting you to join us prayerfully and even financially to make a donation at year end.
Well, and the great part is that this time of year, every donation you make is going to be matched dollar for dollar.
That means doubled because of some generous donors that believe in this ministry, hopefully the same way you do. So we're inviting you to join us. This is the kind of help and hope we bring to your home and other homes as well. And man, we invite you to join and be our partners. And here's how you do it. Just go to familylifetoday.com, make a donation there, or you can call us at 1-800-FL-TODAY, and that money will go to impacting families all around the world. And let me say thank you, because it really means a lot to us and for you to be our partners. And we got the president of Family Life, David Robbins, and his wife, Meg, with us. You know, guys, welcome to Family Life Today.
Good to be here, team.
Woo! We love having you guys.
We are glad to have you here. And, you know, David's the president of Family Life. And, you know, we love it when we get to have you two in the studio, because we get to hear a president's perspective, not only on your life, but on the ministry of Family Life. So let's talk about this. Christmas or holidays. You know, we just had Thanksgiving. We're moving toward Christmas. Do you remember any seasons?
Oh, my goodness. When you started to talk about that story, I immediately thought of our very first Christmas together, which, by the way, that is so sad. That you
is that totally sad?
That's
I'm like laughing but also crying inside.
Hey, Bob and Judy, if you're listening, we love you. And they felt so bad.
Aww, I feel sad for them too. But our first Christmas, so we got married the week of Thanksgiving. So we were on our honeymoon for Thanksgiving. But our pre-marriage counselor knew my family really well and knew that David's he knew a lot about David's family. And he said, you know what? Your parents, all of your parents love you a lot. They're so awesome. They're very family oriented. Not everybody has this. So he's like, but your challenge is going to be leaving and cleaving well, you know, leaving in a healthy way. And that doesn't mean you cut your family off. But his suggestion was, why don't you celebrate all of the first holidays on your own? And kind of set some, doesn't mean you have to do that forever, but just the first year. And we're like, that is such a good idea. We would never have thought of that. And I was kind of thinking, that sounds kind of sad because Christmas with family, but I'm like, you know what? We're creating our own family. This is great. So we just kind of mentioned
we mention, we tell, we inform
This is what I'm waiting
for. It wasn't
for.
Really a discussion. We just kind of said, hey, our marriage counselor said this would be a good idea, so we're going to spend Christmas by ourselves.
On Christmas Eve, we're with Meg's family, which you have five siblings, and it's raucous, and it's amazing, and Christmas is a really big deal like it is for you, Anne.
Well, we were getting ready to leave.
On Christmas Eve.
To drive back home, because we lived about an hour and a half
away. And I'm guessing everybody else is going to be together on Christmas.
Pretty much the rest of my family.
And I'm just picturing myself, like, reaching behind the tree and all, like, for presents that are ours. To pack them in the car, you know, like we're making an ordeal, and at some point in that ordeal,
somebody is like, well, if you weren't leaving, this wouldn't be such a problem, and like little comments start coming out, and I'm like, oh, they're not very happy about this.
They've talked about it a lot.
They tell their piece. We're holding serve on what we're doing. And we decide, they're going to do it. They were like, nope, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. We were willing to stay.
They were like, no, get
in the car. So we pack up all of our presents from everybody and we set out.
We get in the car and we get about a mile down the road and the car dies.
Totally dead.
So we call home and we're like, okay, so a little bit of a problem. Our car died. And we're all just dying laughing at this point. And they're like, no, we're going to bring you our car. You can take it and bring it back to us later. And we're like, no, this must be the Lord saying, stay here. So we did stay.
My first Christmas was with her family.
Well, there is something, we all know the holidays sort of bring out sort of highs and lows. It can often be a really stressful time for, you know, families going through this stuff. I mean, that's hilarious.
It is just funny.
So let's talk about seasons of
when it's
struggle.
Hard.
When it's hard.
Yeah, our first baby is a story of totally different expectations. When he came, he was an amazing gift to us, and God created him exactly like he intended to create him and shaped him in, you know, Meg's womb. But he was created with a genetic disease called cystic fibrosis that affects multiple things, including lungs and, you know, reproductive system and digestive system. And it's a full orb thing that really sent us into a trusting season combined with our whole life's about to change. You know, like everything changes with the birth of this kid that God's gifted us with.
Do you remember when you found out? I mean, was it early in the pregnancy or?
It was at the 20-week ultrasound. We went just assuming like regular scan, you'll see all the things. And
we had a miscarriage before, just a year before. Mm. And so, all right, we made it to the 20-week mark. Chances are better.
Yeah. Your hopes are getting high.
Yes, very true. Because the first few ultrasounds had been nerve-wracking. This one felt like, okay, we're at the middle. This feels a lot better. And we could just tell by looking at the ultrasound tech's face that something wasn't quite right. But our doctor came in and just said, you know, we see something that isn't exactly what we expected to see. It's called echogenic bowel. Something in his stomach is more solid than it should be. And this could be listed off five things. No big deal. There's a small chance it could be a symptom of cystic fibrosis. And I had to be tested. If I was a carrier, then David would have to be tested. And I just remember getting in the car that day.
We got into separate cars because
we had driven separately.
Wait, take us back. David, were you in there for the ultrasound?
Yep, was there totally. I remember when cystic fibrosis was mentioned, the only context I had, Dave, was Boomer Esiason, the great quarterback. His son had cystic fibrosis.
And
so
just,
I was like, I've heard of that.
We
had been there before. Just a year earlier.
Oh, with the miscarriage. Mm.
But then this one was different. And it was a kind of a flood of, what is it? There was a mystery involved instead of a finality involved, where you had to process grief. There was a shifting of expectations and mystery. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of looked at each other. Okay, all we can do is Meg's going to get tested, blood work done. But I remember us getting into separate cars. That's when it kind of hit for both of us.
Yeah. I mean, I remember getting in the car and it was like the Lord just whispered to my heart, I don't make mistakes. And it reminded me of actually a year before we had been at a conference and some sweet friends, Brad and Anya Hopp, had been sharing about a pregnancy that they had had that had their child, it didn't seem like had any brain matter. And they had been told, you know, you need to abort this baby. They were in another country at the time. And they just really felt like, well, we're not going to do that. We really believe God has written a story for our child. And she went on to share that God had really put on her heart Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. Mm-hmm. And their child went on to be born. She's still living to this day. And that was, I mean, I think she's probably about 18, maybe older now. Hmm. She does have complications, but she brings so much joy to their family. And as I sat in the car, the Lord just reminded me of that verse, Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. And I just felt the Lord give me this sense of confidence that he was making Ford exactly the way he wanted to make him. Mm-hmm. And it was scary. And the next several weeks of getting tested, and we're both carriers, and realizing, okay, probably this baby is going to have CF. And there were many ups and downs, and have been through the years, but I feel like the Lord just kind of whispered that to me from the beginning to let me trust that this is part of his plan and part of the story that he's writing for Ford and for our family, and be able to cling to that when things got really hard and scary.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I remember it was the next day walking to work, and just a verse coming to my mind about how God numbers our days, and just kind of felt the Lord's promptings of there's no shortened life. He numbers every one of our days. And in the 24 hours I'd been processing, it was a lot around challenges we may face while he's alive, but how long will he live? And God met me right in that moment of he numbers our days. There's no shortened life. Enjoy every day you get. We've had to trust in that, but yet those were two out of 24 hours out of the gate, the Lord really spoke to us in specific ways that's been a foundation to build on as we keep trusting.
I think as parents, fear and worry are two components that are always at the forefront of our minds. Like we can worry, we can be fearful. That could just dominate your feelings.
Yeah.
And you're saying that, was it a constant surrender? Because now Ford is how old?
He's 15 and has his driver's permit.
Oh, boy.
So, jeez.
Yeah. But
and,
I mean,
and he's thriving. I mean, it is so encouraging. I mean, he does a lot of unseen things that most people, if you meet him, you wouldn't even know that he has anything going on. But
what do you mean he does unseen?
He has an hour and a half at least of treatments that he does every day. He's the first one awake in our house very rarely. And I mean, God's given him this gift to wake himself up, you know, like I'm very rarely having to go wake him up. He's up a little bit before me doing his treatment and, you know, the vest that shakes up mucus in his lungs. And he has to do a lot of unseen things. And he takes, what, 32 pills a day? Is that the current?
About, yeah.
That allows him to digest food. Yet those things, along with a few breakthroughs that have happened medically in the cystic fibrosis community, that's a really big deal, has him thriving currently. But we have had to trust through unknowns, and even moving to a major city like New York City, will the smog affect him? But God, we sense your call. Like there's been inflection points of trust.
Well, even with COVID, with this pandemic, that's scary.
That was very scary, especially in the beginning. I mean, when we didn't know anything about it, all we knew was this is super dangerous for anyone with complicated lung situations. And Ford was sitting right in the middle of that category. And, you know, it just meant, yeah, having, like you said, and just having to deal with the fear that came with realities. It reminds me of when people say faith is not the absence of fear. You know, when we choose to trust the Lord, it doesn't mean that all the fear is gone.
Right.
It's just giving that fear to the Lord and being honest with it. And I think for us, even having to be honest with each other, like, man, I'm scared. Sometimes I feel really fearful. Or starting school again. You know, we were at home for a while and getting back in school with COVID. And then this summer, Ford actually got COVID, and that was definitely very scary. We were actually in Colorado, and the altitude was affecting him. He was having a hard time breathing. But again, I mean, the Lord was so present and so faithful, and Ford actually was much less fearful than we were. And he did really well. After the first 3 or 4 days, he was fought it off, and God really protected him, and we're so thankful.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to keep embracing often that God can handle our fear. He can handle our honesty. And actually, he invites us to come to him like little children, that he wants to comfort us. He wants to meet us in that place. He doesn't want us to stay in it, but he doesn't want us to hide it and try to deal with it on our own. He actually says, okay, David and Meg, together as a couple, disclose that to one another, mm-hmm. and then bring it to me, mm-hmm. bring it to me together and individually. And it's a way to cultivate intimacy. And I hear you talking, Meg, and I just go, yeah, Ford didn't have that much fear in the COVID situation compared to us. And we learn from him all the time. Mm-hmm. This kid teaches us so much. All of our kids teach us stuff.
Sure.
But he teaches us so much day in and day out.
As parents, there's things that our kids are facing or we're facing that trouble us. I remember even when our son was diagnosed with ADHD, I can remember thinking and saying to God, I don't get it. Like, what's the point? Why would this happen? It seems like he's struggling, school, it's affecting his identity and what he feels. And I've shared this before, but I thought, Lord, I need an answer. Like, mm-hmm. I don't understand why you would do this. So I said, I'm gonna fast and pray until I hear from you, Lord. And so I start fasting. You guys, I'm on day 6, like, I need an answer. But I'm determined. So on day 7, I'm just reading scripture. And this is the scripture. I had read this so often because I read the Bible through every year. But it's in Exodus 4:11 when God is talking to Moses. And Moses is saying, I don't want to go and lead the people. And he keeps saying to God, no, it's not me. Don't send me. And the Lord says to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Because remember, mm-hmm. Moses is saying, I can't speak. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. And then God said, who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Mm. And I had never considered that verse in terms of what our kids are dealing with, what I'm dealing with, my weaknesses, my strengths, or even my physical disabilities. And I started thinking, Lord, what does that mean? And I felt like that, just that assurance of God knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He's not surprised. And not only that, but he can use these circumstances. As you guys are saying, it has shaped you.
Yeah.
It has shaped Ford. And even for our son, he is amazing. Like, he's brilliant. I feel like he has taught me more as I've watched him deal with this and figure it out on his own.
And yet, I would add that I think it's harder for us as parents to deal with our kids' struggles than our own.
Yes.
Right.
It becomes your life. You love them so much, and you'd rather take it on yourself than watch them struggle.
And Dave, I think at Christmas, I think that's why sometimes we're so sad at Christmas, because maybe our kids are struggling.
Mm. Yeah, and I tell you what, Meg, when you were talking about Psalm 18:30, I thought, I haven't read that in a while. I wonder how it starts. And I'm sure you know this, you have just lived out how it starts. David writes, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Mm. I just thought, what a great passage for any husband, wife, any mom and dad who maybe... You know, we know there's listeners right now that are like, I'm in that valley right now. Mm-hmm. I just got in the car and I wept because I was just told by the doctor about me or about one of my kids or my husband just said, or my wife. I mean, there's so many valleys we walk through. And your reminder, Psalm 18, is you've lived it out. The Lord is our strength. There is no other strength. You'll never find it. Even in a good diagnosis, you're only going to find it in the Lord. So I would say, man, if you're struggling right now, read Psalm 18. Get on your knees and say, God, you got to meet me right here. And he will. Mm-hmm. I mean, your story is a story of God met you and actually out of ashes has brought incredible. I wonder what God's going to do with Ford.
Yeah.
You know, what the future is going
to
be.
It's funny you went to Moses, because when he was 3 and a half, we were reading a kid's book around Moses leading the Israelites through the Red Sea. And, you know, the application of this kid's book was, and God made a way for his people and he will make a way for you. And Ford asked, you think God will make a way for me?
The title of the book was, Will You Make a Path for Me? Yeah. And Ford turned to us and said, do you think God will make a way for me? And he even asked something about cystic fibrosis in that moment. And that became what we prayed for him. God, would you use his cystic fibrosis to make him see you more and show him that this is the path that you've made for him?
Yeah. And I just think our answer could be yes by faith because of Christmas, because of Jesus coming, because he will come again, and because his commitment to his people to make a way for them.
was thinking of Psalm 46 as I was listening to the Wilsons and the Robins. The psalmist says that God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. Martin Luther took that psalm and wrote the great hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." He is the rock on which our marriage, our family, our lives rests. And when the storms come, and they will come, if we're not attached to that rock, then we can expect to get tossed about. But when we are planted firmly on the rock, we can stand strong. If you find yourself facing a storm in your marriage or in your family, we want to recommend to you a book called Together Through the Storms, Biblical Encouragement for Your Marriage When Life Hurts, by Jeff and Sarah Walton. We've got copies of the book in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can find out more when you go online at familylifetoday.com or order a copy of the book by calling 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the book is titled Together Through the Storms. Order online at familylifetoday.com or call to order 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Well, we have David Robins still with us here in the studio. David, let me pull you back into the conversation here. This is a critical time of year for us here at Family Life. We're hoping Family Life Today listeners will stand with us and consider making a year-end contribution to support the ongoing work of the Ministry of Family Life here at the end of 2021.
Yeah, as we're nearing the end of December, we're watching generous partners give and donations coming in, and it's so encouraging. But we are running behind where we need to be in order to meet the match that Friends of Family Life have given so that your gift could be doubled and the impact of your gift could be doubled. And when I think about the impact of what Family Life and Family Life Today does, I think about Diane, who wrote you, Bob, recently, and I just loved hearing what she told you. She said, "I started listening to Family Life Today when my kids were babies. I was a fairly new Christian trying to figure out new ways of parenting and working to change broken patterns from the past." And then she keeps going. She says, "Therefore, I sought Family Life Today out and many of the guests you've had on to strengthen me in my faith walk, relationships, and parenting. And I also found that the more I learned, I was able to have healthy conversations with my husband, and we grew in our love for one another and in our marriage." That is what we're about, growing in oneness with the Lord and oneness with one another in our home. And thank you for the ways that you can give today that can help more homes experience oneness with Jesus.
Well, and David, you mentioned that during the month of December, every donation one of our listeners makes is being matched dollar for dollar. We've got the matching gift fund of $1.5 million. We've already been hearing from listeners. Thank you to those of you who have gone online or called us and said, "We stand with you. We support what you're all about. You've helped us in our marriage, our family, and we want to stand with Family Life going forward." We need to hear from a lot more folks over the next few weeks, so today would be a great day for you to go online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. Make a year-end donation. Your donation is going to be matched dollar for dollar, and we're going to send you a copy of Dane Ortlund's book, In the Lord I Take Refuge, a devotional book from the book of Psalms, 150 devotions for the year ahead. That's our way of saying thank you for your support here at Year End. We look forward to hearing from you and want to say thanks in advance for partnering with us and helping us effectively develop godly marriages and families. And we hope you have a great weekend. Hope you and your family are able to worship together in your local church this weekend. And we hope you can join us on Monday when Jefferson Bethke is going to be here to talk about how we make family the priority it needs to be in the midst of a culture that is trying to pull us away and focus on other things. How do we take back our family? We'll hear from Jefferson Bethke about that on Monday. Hope you can join us. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you Monday for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life, a Crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.